Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello, welcome to our November extra edit call. Good. Thanks for being here. And let's see what kind of topic comes up here today. I don't have anything specific on the agenda today. We're in the power module, and we're just sort of shifting out of different energies collectively, astrologically, and maybe you're feeling a little bit lighter now. Maybe you feel that, anything is always different for everybody, but we're just going to wait a moment for everybody to come on here, and let me just sort of just kind of speak a mantra here. Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urva Rukkamiva Bandhanam Mrityor Makshyam Amratat. This mantra basically is an invitation to let go, or it's a prayer to let go, to help us to let go of the time itself. Time creates the sense of living, the sense of movement. And so when we are untethered from time and space, then what's left is you. And this you then can be in time and space, or an express in time and space, in an effortless way, in a way that is without desire for the fruits of your actions. So I'm just going to take the first caller here, and that's in New York. And hi, New York. Is this Christine?
Yes. Hi, Rafa.
I thought so. After your post,
I just had to talk to you. It was such a light bulb that went on. I'm like, am I attracting this water to myself? I just thought that was very funny.
Yeah, well, if you take out the concept of time, you are attracting something, you're causing something. Do you remember, everything that's happening is from the past. So it's really a sign that you're out of balance with something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the invitation, yes. And the beauty of life is that it shows you, you know, like a flu or something else, it shows you that something's out of balance. And it's not so much what we're doing, but it's more about how we look at things, how we perceive what we're desiring or not desiring, you know? So is it really clear what I mean to not be attracted and averse? Because I do know you have training and sort of manifesting. That the new age manifesting thing, right? And I think that clashes with the idea of enlightenment. Am I correct?
And it does confuse me, because I find that, the simplest things, I say something, I mean, that's always happened, but I'll have a conversation, and within minutes, I'll find what I was just talking about, and I'm not looking for it. It just seems to appear, you know, and that seems to be more and more happening, or maybe I'm just, I'm noticing it more, and it's always been that way. So, yeah, I do confuse the two, and it's I'm teetering back and forth. I grab it, and then I kind of lose the meaning behind it.
I hope I understand correctly what you're saying. Are you saying that you're noticing that things are coming to you because you are thinking about them, and there's a sense of that you're manifesting things? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I just feel like,
right.
You know, that I'm
the sense of synchrony. Okay.
Yes, Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the basics again. The basics are that you're either awake or you're not awake. And sometimes we call it partially awake because, you know, you're suddenly people are aware that they're not so unconscious. They don't totally identify as an ego. They are actually aware that they're actually a soul, that there's something living inside of them and they have a conscience, right? So, but the thing is that the identification still rests in the ego and is motivated by egoic programming. And that is all. You can read that in your astrology chart. If somebody looks at your astrology chart, they will just say, oh, there's this tendency for synchronicity. Or, there's a tendency of things come easily to you there's a correlation between your thoughts and the events that happen in your life. And it'll be basically displayed in your astrology chart, which is a set picture of your karma. Okay?
Mm.
Now, if you are basically saying, oh, that's good, because some people have some pleasant things in it and also unpleasant things, you know? And,
right.
So now, and we had the conversation in the other group today with Alan about the astrology, and it fits the situation because the idea that you manifest something, you can only co-create when you know yourself as the creator.
Mm.
When you know that I am God, when you are the creator self, then you can create. Am I making sense?
No, I need more help with that. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm not good at it.
No,
yeah.
No problem. This universe is one. It's not two. It's one. God is one. There's not two. It's not a twin. It's based on oneness.
So wait, so then what, I think I have it. So then I've always had the ability to have what I want. I've just kept things away from me because I haven't realized that I have that ability. Am I getting that?
No, less than that. I would make it. Everything that's happening in your life is already fate. Let's put it this. Let me use that word. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing you're really doing. You're like Maharishi said. Mahesh Maharishi said, "Do we have free will?" And he said, "Yeah, as much as a dog on a leash." You can't get out of your karma. You can only get out of your karma into your core. But you can't do anything else. You cannot be inside duality and change things around. You can't do it. You can't make it a very big example. It's like you can't change the size of your feet. It's set. And everything else in your life is set. It's absolutely set. Nothing you can change.
Okay.
It's just the way it is. Right?
I'm not going to ever forget that. I can't change the size
of my feet. You can't change the size of your feet. Yeah. Well, people try, right? But... so your karma is set now because there's good things in your karma and things that are unpleasant karmas, right? We talk about positive and negative karma, and karma in itself is suffering, as the soul is suffering. Even people that have a lot of great things happening to them, they can be miserable because the soul is suffering because you want to realize who you are. So you can use your free will then to basically slip through out of good and bad into your core. And that is where, and what happens is that when you do that, you take your karma and you recycle it. You take it and you basically funnel it back to source. Whatever you put into your core, it funnels back to source. And because everything is an in and out breath process, that raw energy will then come back to you and will feel uplifted and will change situations in your life. Let's say instead of breaking a leg, you stub a toe. Or if your frequency rises even more, you don't even know that there could have been a potential leg break because that day nothing happened because you did some spiritual practice, because you're recycling your life. So the only attraction we should have, or that makes sense, that would benefit you and everybody else, is to desire freedom, desire God, desire self, infinity, whatever you might call it. But if you begin to desire, let's say, a house at the ocean, from an egoic point of view, you're going to create a distortion, right?
Oh, yes.
But the distortion, the distortion is already set in your chart. It's already, you were born with it, and it's just starting to, the trajectory started a long time ago. It's like you play ping pong and you hit the ball in a certain way. You already hit it off wrong a long time ago by birth, and it's going in a certain direction. And you think you're making it happen. It happened a long time ago, maybe 500 lifetimes ago, because you were so attracted about being a fish in water and you liked it or whatever. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
there's definitely something there. You know, I mean, it's so much more than just a house on the water. It's not. It's so much more than that. And that's why it's almost like a metaphor, I feel. Like, you know, that there is just so much more to it. So I feel like, is it all these things put in my place for me to finally become aware of that, though? You know, is that...
That these things that you are creating them. It's like if you take a cup and you let go, it smashes to the ground. You are literally set up in a certain way, and it's the second chakra, really, is your water chakra, that basically is out of balance, yeah? And
okay.
And I can tell you what it is, really, because, you know, the second chakra is a sacral chakra. It's called sacral because it has something to do with the sacrum, with sacred. And this,
okay.
And this is, it is the, it is the, the ruling chakra during what we call the era before the patriarchy, which we call the matriarchy, but it wasn't the matriarchy, but it was more, it was a time of sacredness. This is where all the temples were built, and there was all this, earth rituals and all these things, because people discovered that if they make certain, you know, rituals, then the crops, it will rain and the crops will be saved, you know, all these things, right? So the sacred is lost once we moved into the third chakra paradigm, which we call the patriarchy, which was all about power. I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to try it out because I can. Now this sort of mix of unfinished stuff and desire, because you do desire something sacred, you know, but your relationship with the sacred hasn't reached the heart level yet. You don't truly have a relationship with the sacred. So you're feeling some kind of attraction, and it's mixed up with your personal will to want to manifest something for your own personal gain and interest. So it gets all really mixed up. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, that makes sense to me, yes.
Yeah, so the solution is for you to let that all go and to discover and also have a little bit of power with yourself and ask yourself, can I actually make something greater, life or whatever it is, can that be more sacred than your own idea and your own will? Because if you don't do that, you will never move from the third chakra into the heart chakra.
Okay. Okay.
Can you feel that?
I can, but I don't know what the answer is.
Is there a question? I didn't ask a question. There's no question.
Well,
there's an instruction, but there's no question.
Okay.
There's a pointing. I'm saying you gotta turn over here, and there's a red light, and then you go over there, and then you say, "But I don't know what the answer is."
Okay. Okay.
See, I'm confused.
Yes. No, you're right. No, I got it. I do. I got it. All right.
Would you want to repeat it to me? Do you want to repeat to me
no.
what you got?
What I'm going to walk away from this is that I need to go into the core. I need to surrender. I need to realize that I am not bigger than these things that I want. Yes?
You're not bigger than
no.
the things that you want. No, not at all. There's something else that causes you to exist and to trust that something, that life will take care of you. And there's something sacred.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay.
That when you desire something so strongly that you're running away from suffering, there's something you suffer from. And the suffering is because you're not aware of the sacred. You can't sense it. You're not fulfilled by it. So you have to basically go a little bit into this place of what sometimes feels like dark or a sense of emptiness or lack or loss, hopelessness, and you transverse that. There is a knot, yeah? There's a knot of Vishnu between the third chakra and the fourth chakra. That knot is not easy to get through. It needs to be opened. The will needs to be surrendered, the personal egoic will. And then you have to give it all up and just feel like, okay, if I don't do it, well, then what? Then life seems so meaningless. You have to go through that meaninglessness as well, because it's all a trick, right? Okay.
All right, I get that. I get that. I understand that. I sincerely mean that. I get that.
Good.
And that is, I get to that point where it's like all of this is not making sense to me, and then I make my own rules up, and I get what you just said to me.
Okay. Good. Awesome. Okay. Great.
Thank you, Ratima.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. Yeah, thanks. That's good. Good. Okay. Denise. Hi, Denise. Hi.
Hello, Ratima. Mm. Nice to hear from you again, speak with
you.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still assimilating that last interchange.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can imagine, right?
Okay. Well, I've just had some very interesting insights of not long ago you said something to someone about with an illness or anything like that, to just not recognize it when it shows up again, to just not even recognize it so that you forget what it is. And I have been doing that, and it's been so interesting, the sensations that have come with this illness that I had. It's almost like it was an enchantment or a seduction, and I'm able to see that now, as if it was just owning me. And do you know what I mean? As if there are strings of it, like there were cobwebs around me, and now they're starting to clear. So it's just been very fascinating.
Oh, good. Yeah, no, that's true. And on a certain level, it does appear like that. That's correct. No, that's good.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, as I was learning that and experiencing that, then I became very fascinated with it. And then I've been watching my mind and a little bit unclear of what my mind serves. I love to learn. I mean, even from when I was a little child, when I was about 10, I found a book on yoga. And, you know, I've studied Huna and a lot of sacred sciences, and now I'm studying a lot of Ayurveda. But I'm a little unclear of where that fits in with the core, because there's so much sacredness in everything that I'm drawn to. But I'm wondering if that being drawn to it is pulling me out of my core.
Good. No, I understand what you're saying. That's a great question. I'm glad that you're investigating that. What you see, it's beautiful to use your body, and you're supposed to use everything, otherwise it withers away, just like a muscle. It's good to learn to keep the brain active, and we're all wired constitutionally. You know, some people like to use their brain more, others their body. You know, it's just normal. Now, you have to check, am I doing all this because I'm seeking and I'm suffering? Or am I actually in a place of fulfillment, and from that place of joy, I'm actually learning?
Oh, yeah. Usually for me, it's very joyous.
Yeah. Then you're in your core, and you're being honestly expressing what's true for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually that's how we're supposed to live. You become more, your sense of that you are the self is spreading out more and more into your life, and then you just go through your day doing all these things, which are just, they all have a sense of equal quality to it. If you do this or that, you seem to be always the same in it. Do you have that experience sometimes?
I do, with those sorts of things. Now, when I'm trying to learn how to do a webcast or doing technical things or marketing, then the joy isn't there so much, but those seem to be necessary.
Yeah, there are things. Yeah, I understand. Sometimes the joy is expressed in what I call a sense of rightness, that this must be done because there's truth to it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because because nothing stays all joyful. You have bliss, joy, peace, neutrality. There's all these equanimity. There's all these different expressions of the core that you go through, or they flood your emotional body, right? But it never will be that one experience. But it'll be always a true experience, you know, something that doesn't have, it has an absence of suffering to it.
Yes, thank you. Now, could you please just check in with me and see Is there any suggestions you have for me?
Do you have any concerns or some wonderings about anything, meditation or anything else?
Not anything in particular. I just want to be closer to you right now.
Okay, let's be still for a moment. Do you feel a little bit better now?
I feel very full.
Full, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, what I'm watching with you is that you're still in the healing process. The energy is coming in through your crown chakra and filling you up, but there's still static, like it's going, it's almost like it's trying to fill you all up, but there's still this little bit of dissonance here and there, not just tiny bits, you know, like 15%, which is going through, like going, instead of going, the energy going straight, it just kind of bounces around a little bit. And so I just assisted to ground that into your hara point a bit better. And so now you can feel that the energy is more smooth, right? It's filling you up better.
Yes, I'm going to do Panchakarma too over Thanksgiving. So that will probably really help with the healing.
Okay, good. All right. Okay,
Thanks,
Denise. Okay, we'll see you soon. Okay. And this is Deb. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hiratama.
Hi.
Hey. So after I contacted you about a possible session with for my cough that I've had for dry cough that I've had for a couple months, and what I realized is that if I had a session with you, the thing that I would want more than anything is just to sit there and let you take total care of me. Like not have to do anything at all, which I know is not what a session with you is like. And so, I did a square on it actually where, and so this is perfect about what you talked about at the beginning and what Christine and stuff talked about, and this desire to have someone take care of me, fear of having someone take care of me, desire to take care of myself and fear of taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized through the process that the reason why I wanted somebody to take care of me is just so I could let go and not always have to be on and, you know, don't always have to muster up the energy. And I just wanted to totally let go. And what I realized through the process of doing the square is that it just describes exactly of letting go and letting God, you know, take care of me. And
yeah.
In that process, then I would also feel like I could have the, you know, the energy, the power, and sort of the trust to be able to move through the world and kind of take care of myself through that, through just surrendering to God. And so it was really,
that's
really beautiful.
Yeah.
It felt really, really good. So,
good.
and I also wondered if you could, check in, and I still have that cough, and just wonder if you could just check in with me for a moment and just sit with me. It would be wonderful.
You know, just some emotions there, and usually when we cough, there's usually hidden anger. But the emotions are more grief. Can you sense that? Can you follow that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't have, dryness come up, then, sorry, if there's no phlegm or anything, then usually it's more like you need moisture, right? So anything that moisture, like mullein infusion or something, you know, and to moisturize the lungs and maybe allowing the grief to, you know, to just kind of become more aware of it. And but, you know, what you were talking about earlier is more of a the quality of the feminine, the yin, so bringing that, allowing that to live more within you, bring that more forth, allowing, because the feminine is more retreated. And, yeah, does that help?
Yeah,
okay.
That did. Thank you. Thank you
okay.
so much.
You're welcome. Okay, and good. And this is Jen. Hi.
Hello
there. Hi there. How are you? Are you still there? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Oh, I was just wondering, please, if you could just give me a little help with control. This week, over the last few days, I've had this incredible urge to speak to a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of squares and triangles. And it's only this morning, just before I sat down, I realised I'm trying to control this situation.
Oh.
But that urge to say something is super strong, and it's almost like I need all the power I can muster not to speak.
Because if you speak, it's going to make you right somehow?
I haven't looked at it that way. It's more like if I don't, it's going to cost me financially in other ways as well.
Oh, okay. Well, then if it's just, would make sense to me just from what you're saying that you need to say what you need to say because you need to make, you know, protect your own balance of things.
There is that aspect of it, but I feel it's a little bit deeper than that for me as well. It's with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Come
back to the core. It's meant to come back to the core, which is you ask yourself, it's very simple. There's a situation that's and it's good for everybody, and you ask yourself, okay, is it what's really true here for me to talk about this to my daughter or to be quiet? Which one is true? Which one is true?
Okay.
Can you sense it?
Okay. It would be to be quiet.
Okay. So that's your truth. And so, and with that, that's it. If your mind comes in doubting it, don't ignore it because your mind has no say, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I've been really having to work hard to shut the mind out. And I realized it pulls me out of my core. Very much so. Thank you.
Yeah, it helps. I know it's more challenging when I say that, but it helps when you allow yourself to say that I let myself be pulled out of the core, and it's usually based on just wanting to have drama, wanting to suffer, this programming, and when you realize that, and you realize, oh, no, I don't actually want that, I actually do want to be in my core, I like it, then you're going to strengthen that, and your mind is going to have less and less, you don't go to the mind, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, because I would say in satsang that it's like alcoholics, where everybody's an alcoholic, they always grow back to the bottle, that's the mind. Mm.
Thank you. I get that, but I just realised that I was really having to work super hard to close the mind down from going there.
You probably have emotions, and just sit down, feel them all, feel all that, like maybe disappointed, sad, scared, and all this, and just let it all flow through, and because that is what powers the movement, the waves, you know, the thoughts in the mind,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the ignition. Thanks. Okay. Good. And Kazri. Hi, Kazri.
Hi, Arathima.
Hi.
Hi. Well, it's I relate so much to Christine. I think her and I have a similar pattern or maybe background about, you know, what she brought up. And I'm also struggling to understand. And can I give two examples of where, so here I am creating this business, and so if I do it from this, I'm supposed to do it from this place of joy because that's my thing and that's where it'll just create, but where?
Or neutrality, or just because it's true, you know, like whatever. It has to be from the core, which has different qualities. Remember I mentioned that? It's not always joyful.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then how does one not have desires about, like, because the reality is it would ideally bring me some money so I can support myself, and that's when it gets, like, the desires come in about,
Well, you know, let me, yeah, because I mean, we all have to live here, right? We have a physical body and we have realities we're dealing with. So the desire to have money or to eat and to not have a roof over your head it's like a natural desire, like having to go to the bathroom. So there is nothing wrong about that. But it is, if it comes from a place of fear, or it's like an obsessive kind of thing. I need to have this and I need to have that because you're feeding your ego with it. That's what we could say is wrong. But in its nature, it's like every animal takes care of themselves. They make a burrow or something. They go hunting. That's just normal. But that's not a desire. Like, think of animals. They don't have a desire. It's a natural instinct. And we have that too, which comes from within our core. It's a self-preservation that is built into our body to create an equilibrium and a balance between life and death. So that we're what we call health, right? And but we, as because we have a frontal brain, we create a whole drama around it. It's like, oh, if I have the white picket fence instead of the green picket fence, and I mean more. So we built up an ego around everything, you know, and it's the entire North American, the American dream I always talk about is about that. It's this idea of everything means. And that's what we could call it evil or sick, you know?
Right. Okay. And that, yeah, you're going to say something?
Well, no, I'm just going to ask you now. It's like, as you're basically making sure that you are doing what is fundamentally important to make sure you eat and have a home and earn the, you know, these things, you are going to go into your core and see, like, what is it that really makes me tick? What is it that comes effortlessly through me and that I can share this joy with others? And you do this with what you're doing right now. This is one of the things you really like doing, and then you do that, and there is no problem with that. Or where is the problem that you're experiencing with that?
I guess it's the it's so hard to express. It's so confusing. Well, I guess when as soon as I start to have, let's say, goals or ideas of what I'd like it to become, or the amount of money I like to earn, and then how I'd like to travel and do these things. All of a sudden, I start to think, is that just all ego, or is that, like, I almost feel like I shouldn't dream. Like, I'm scared to dream because I might go out of my core. So it's easier just to have a job and let someone else just have all the dreams, and I'll have no dreams. I'll just. I don't know, like, I'm begging it to an extreme level. If I just work for someone else, then I don't have to dream anymore. If I can just focus on enlightenment, you know? Like,
Okay. Take a deep breath. I can barely breathe here. It's much easier. It's much simpler. It's all innocent. It's all very innocent. Of course, when we think, we think, let's say I need to go to the store. I am having a vision of going to the store. So thinking is always connected with a visual, with visualization. Our mind is used to kind of direct ourselves through time and space. So that's normal. So there's a natural dreaming, like children, they dream up and they play and all that stuff, but there's an innocence in that, correct?
Right.
You're not doing this in order to say, here I am, Kazri, I'm better than everybody else, or the opposite, here I am, Kazri, the one that always fails. That will be sick. That will be a way of misusing your dreaming power. But if you just allow the nature of the mind, which creates images and thoughts, to be innocent, which it is when you just are being yourself, which means you're in your core. Make it very simple, not complicated. Forget all that and just become very simple. And humility is, I always say humility is usually a nice word to use, because you're empty of ego, empty of all that drama. You're just being Kazri and you do your thing, and you don't, it's not because you want to be something to somebody. That's what I do. I mean, I'm just doing this to be somebody to somebody. I just do this because it just has to happen. And it could be something else. And it wouldn't even matter to me if it was, because what I want is the sense of that I'm doing the thing that I'm supposed to do. And I can feel that. It's like wearing the right clothes, or the clothes are all too tight and they would strangle something, you know, and I don't have blood flow. It has to sit right. What you're doing has to sit right. Your energy body is just flowing naturally when you're doing what you're supposed to do. So, you know, you can feel that, right?
Yeah. Okay. So just keep all the dreaming and all whatever futures, because that's when I get mixed up. I'll just forget all that for now and just go day by day, create.
Well, it's like when you ride a bike, you have to balance, right? When you don't have training wheels and you take them off, you need to balance. You don't fall to the right nor to the left. And that's the thing about life. We're sort of attached and detached. And that causes you to be yourself. It's the middle way. And so it's almost like you are kind of looking into the future, where you say, okay, I need to make this much money. I'd like to serve these people. This is what my line should look like. This is what I'm going to create. And you get inspired. At the same time, you watch yourself not to hold on too tight and strangle it. So it's always holding on, letting go. It's like in martial arts. You know, you do your training. You're right into it. At the same time, you also let go. And then you just do it, you know, or just like riding your bike.
Right.
Yeah, it's both. It's controlled abandon, it's called in martial arts. Can you feel what that means? Controlled abandon. You control it and you abandon it at the same time. And that's the part that gets tricky. So this is why that's why we meditate, to constantly nurture and develop and mature the sense of that sense of the middle of it, because the mind can't understand it. The mind will always control it or abandon it, but it's both at the same time, which makes you slip out of the mind, and then you're just doing your thing. And maybe it helps you to look at, you know, you're around nature all the time. So if you feel like you're off, you know, just feel nature again, or look at a child playing, and then you just, maybe that kind of slips you back into that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Yes, thank you so much. I understand. I get it. I feel it.
You can feel it, right? Yeah, I know you can.
Yeah.
It's really simple. And I'm seeing what you're doing right now. And it should be so easy for you to have a great company. Totally. I don't see any problem with it. So you just do it, and we'll keep working at it. And that's it. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We're done.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. All right. This might be Deborah. Is that correct? It's a Skype call. Hi. It says restricted. You have your hand up. I can't hear you. Hello? Hello? Okay, it doesn't work, so I'm going to just mute you. And I'm going to go to Shelly. Hi, Shelly. It's you now.
Yeah, hey. I had something interesting happen, so I'm just, it's more a curiosity as to whether there's something I should be doing. I've been starting to get this more and more. The feeling is really starting to come in, and the sensitivity. So I was feeling energy all around the head today. No big deal. There was no suffering. I just noticed it. But I'm very, very, very noticeable, very strong energy. But now, I mean, the top of my head, it's like it's burnt. I'm not kidding you. I can barely touch the crown. It is so tender, like you got like a third degree burn.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I didn't question any of it when it was happening because it's just energy. It's just there. I'm starting to notice it more and more. But I'm like, wow. Did that mean the crown was blocked? Something I should be doing when this happens? Or it's just the side effect of whatever it was?
Well, there's always something happening. There's always something happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes meridians are blocked, or sometimes they flow through. There's different astrological, so all kinds of stuff. And then you rub it a bit, maybe, or you leave it alone.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
There'll be something else next week.
A lot of love right now. Exactly. Okay, good. Thank you. That's all I needed.
Okay. Okay. You're welcome. Okay. And this is Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen. Hi.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good, good. Hello, everyone. I wanted to thank you, Rathima, for the call that we had on the 9th.
The upgrade,
and
yeah.
All of the things that helped me sort of get over the hump I was trying to get over. So I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. And this isn't a major thing. It's more like something that occurred to me today that I really don't know the spiritual answer to.
Okay.
So, you know, I recently took a trip to New York City, which was very, very aligned with my course, something that, you know, especially once I got there, it's just like everything moved into just this very beautiful, interesting space. And while I was there, one of the things that came up just, you know, in my free time, so to speak, was that I saw an advertisement about a concert to go see Andre Bocelli, which is like something just, all I have to do is think about his voice and I think about love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought about it. And felt really aligned with it. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to purchase a ticket and I will come back here for that.
Mm-hmm.
I will make arrangements to come back here for that. And didn't think another thing about it. It just happened very easily. And I saw that if I, for some reason, travel plans didn't work out, I could turn the ticket in and, you know, it would probably double or triple in price. So I just thought, well, you know, this is all good. So I came home, I made the travel arrangement. That was all very easy. And then all of a sudden I thought today is something like that, does that fall under attraction that isn't necessary? Like, where is that fine line between things that are in alignment with our core and things that are just attraction? Like, you know, when I'm involved in things having to do with the arts, music, art, food, travel, you know, people, I feel like I'm just totally in my element. But where is the fine line between being attracted to these things?
Well, if you take away the naming of things between not calling it art or these things, but these are just activities, then you are moving through time and space in a place of equilibrium and always serving your core, like so that you remain in a place that basically does not where you don't abandon yourself, right? And you don't go out
right.
and suddenly get like totally fascinated, glamorized,
right.
fascination is astral attraction. Well, that doesn't sound
yeah.
like that's what was going on. You just had a sense, I need to be there, and that's will elevate my vibration. That's what I'm getting, right?
Right, right. That's exactly how it happened. It wasn't till later on, you know, as I've been home and coming back into practice and everything, and I thought, you know, is this just something I need to examine? But it was all just so like, yes, 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 yes. And then I just moved right on, and there wasn't glamour attached to it. It was very much just, wow, this is interesting, and I actually think I can do it.
Yeah, no, and Andrea Bocelli, he is very, he has that frequency, and it's really very nice to the heart. And so we nourish ourselves. I mean, that's the beauty of being a human being. If we're not caught in suffering, we actually move through the day, and we're nourished by everything around us. We're open to it, and we have an appetite for the things that keep uplifting us. Some people are still programmed to have an appetite for destruction, right? And when
right.
you come to the other side and you have an appetite for things that uplift you, these are the ones that seek out the spiritual practices, the teachers, the satsangs and all this, the mountains, the power places, because at some point you get to a place where you realize that you're on a roll, and it can only get better if you keep raising your vibration. And art and music and all this, there are people who bring through tremendous frequencies. They might be not complete.
Yeah.
They might not be enlightened, but they have a certain frequency that resonates within your astrology chart in a certain way with your constitution that just gives you that extra little color, you know, that you just needed in that
yeah.
moment.
Well, it was exactly like that. And actually the entire trip was like that.
Mm.
And so there's some really nice energies there.
Mm-hmm.
I've always found that in New York City. And so, okay, I just felt I wanted to kind of get, you know, be real clear with myself about it. So I
great.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
No, that's great. No, thanks for sharing that. That's good. So let me try the Skype call again. Is that Deborah? Okay. Okay, it doesn't
Hello?
Work. Yeah, there it is. Who is that?
Hello? Oh, it's Sally. something has happened with my Comcast with the phone, and they took off the ID.
I see. Okay. So I know usually it's Deborah who has Skype, so I thought maybe it's her. Okay. All right. Okay, Sally. Here we are.
Hi. I just wanted to check in and please, if you know, you can give me any insight, you know, if you see anything I need to work on or.
Okay. Yeah, bring your attention to the center of your head.
Okay.
So you're starting to notice a shift, right, where I'm helping you to see things through the lens of infinity and not so restricted. So more light, in other words, in your mind. And because the mind gets habituated in looking or thinking in limitations. That's what I see in your mind. So if you basically bring your attention to your third eye, did you notice some changes already right now?
No, not changes really, but I was thinking that I've had some definitely some energy there in lately. I felt energy. You know, you were silent.
Yeah.
I could feel. Yeah, I felt it both my root chakra and my root area anyway. I don't know.
Yeah.
You said that maybe we don't have some of us don't have chakras anymore. Yeah. Do I still have chakras?
let me first go back to what we were speaking about. Is that
okay? Yeah. I've been feeling energy there.
Yeah, because there was your energy in general wants to, like the Kundalini, the energy in your system wants to break through this limited thinking. You know, I call it almost hopelessness, but not like really heavy, not very heavy, but a little bit. If you kind of dig a little bit deeper, there is sort of limitations and a sense of what you could call hopelessness. That's what I'm reading. If you can just kind of blow through that, expand through it, you know, more light, so you might chant Om or just, you know, and just allow your crown chakra to open a little bit, just like a flower opening it, and just again connecting it to being totally open so that you're infinite and anything is possible. You're free from what your senses tell you.
Okay.
That
okay,
helping?
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much, because, yes, I do have this. It's not, I agree, it's not really a feeling of hopelessness, but kind of a feeling of resignation.
Yeah, okay, that's the word, yes, okay, yeah. And that's, when I think of you, in just terms of, since I've known you, that's your go-to pattern. So if I was you, if I were you, shortly in English right now, I would really get that squared away. I would get to that pattern and just dismantle the whole house of it, and just see who you would be without it.
Okay, you know, it's really hard for me to know where to begin. I've done so many squares and not a whole lot of triangles. But,
or triangles tend to desire to be resigned, to fear, to resign. What's the opposite of it? What would be the opposite of resignation? You know.
I think free.
Yeah, the desire to be free and the fear to be free. You work with what is here right now. You grab that and then you work with it. And then you just go again, what do I feel right now? Okay, there's still a limitation. I'm not at my optimum. Okay, then you grab that again. And it really takes you into the present moment, and it makes you a master over, you pull yourself out of the mind, and you're again here using your free will and climbing yourself out of this dream box that the mind is, you know. Because the resignation is only happening in the mind's drama and story, that Sally has this life and this is all happening, and that's all very good, but in deep sleep, none of that is true. And really, your spirit, none of it is really true.
Yeah.
And that's freedom. And that's the freedom you're looking for. And remember, being totally free does not make your body go away right away. You will still experience everything. Your life doesn't go away, because I know there's attachment and normalcy. We don't want to go crazy. I was talking to somebody in a session, I can't remember the last 2 days, about what's the difference between somebody who's enlightened and somebody who's crazy. There is not much of a difference. Just the one is basic. No, it's actually the same state. Just that the enlightened person, their consciousness is rooted. It's like a plant that gets planted. It had roots and grew like a tree. So it was still grounded in the body, and it's all rooted in context in that person's life. So they can orient themselves and function normally. Whereas somebody who blows open and they forget who they are, and they become crazy, literally, you know. So when you, so the way we're doing it, And nobody here in the group is designed to go crazy. Nobody's horoscope has that, because he wouldn't be in his class. Then you don't have to worry about it, you know. You just keep digging everything away, clearing it away, and then and you still have Sally, and you still have everything you like, but you're a master over it.
Okay. Well, do you think maybe a session would help another, you know, maybe, or just I need to work?
I think you need to do it, yeah. I don't mind at some point, you know, after a few months, you say, hey, let's check in together or in a call. But no, it's like, it's just for you to make that decision and to listen to, even when you hear the group calls, if you listen to the group calls again, listen to the voice, to the sound in your voice. Get to know what's really going on with Sally. You might be hearing things that you can't hear when you actually talk to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. Thank
I love you.
You.
I love you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Rosemary. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi.
I couldn't pass up the chance to say hello.
Okay.
I have to keep it really close in because my energy is off today, but I'm noticing something. That I don't know whether I have to dismantle something or it's just going to pass through. It seems like there's a lot of, there's this darkness. And, by the way, there's a lot of light too.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to sleep,
okay, throw them both out. There's a lot of darkness and there's a lot of light. You can see them both. Throw them both out. Offer them back to Source. Just do that right
now. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, just throw it back to Source. Say, here it is. I don't need none of this.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I don't need it. No.
And then just notice what happens.
I can breathe better.
Mm-hmm. Good. And now you're spinning a little bit, right? That's good.
Don't know where I am.
Okay. That's I think you're here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't look too much, you know, like into anything. It's like, but I'm not sure where. Okay, so I'm here. This is really good. I feel, oh gosh, this is great. So
I remember you saying that before, if I remember correctly. I don't know where I am. So if we basically stop doing that, then you're just here. And that feels like a relief, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I realize that when I'm in front of you or when I do, that in order for me to say something, I have to find where I am.
Okay.
So when I get on the call with you, I feel like I'm in this huge space and I have to find where I am in order to say something.
That's correct. You're basically engaging with the minds in order to verbalize words. Yeah, no, that's okay. That becomes more graceful with that. It gets easier at some point where there isn't a sense of being spaced out.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is I notice I have that habit of being spaced out and thinking, okay, well, I have to find myself and in order to speak. So you're saying, okay.
Yeah, that's you know, it happens and it's okay transitory wise, but if you're always spaced out, then I would say you're not meditating. You're either trying too hard when you meditate, you're trying to do things. Is that right? Yeah. instead of more receiving the meditation. You're trying to do meditation.
I think it's both. You know, it's, I find myself like, yeah, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Because if you're already very, very surrendered inside, then you just sit down and you just enjoy that, and it will deepen by itself. You come in the beginning, it seems like we do a lot, but then later, it just, you sit down and you're just, you just go into the core. You can't help it, and don't try to do less and less, and you will notice that. And there is all that happens at some point are these subtle adjustments in your perspective when you know you're caught somewhere. That's all. But you don't maneuver your energy too much, because that's going to space you out.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I did that too. So that's a normal stage. I remember that it took me a while to recognize. I'm like, why am I feeling so spaced out? And so I realized I was working too hard, and it felt uncomfortable anyway. So just drop it. And so because your meditation will go through maturation stages, it starts to evolve, and you go through phases. You'll go through new phases that will look so different than the ones you did last year. And so just remember that it can't be the same meditation, because you're changing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's actually really great. I mean, this is progress. Okay.
It is progress.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's really good. Yeah. So you're coming to a more surrendered place. So this is good. So you're now surrendering more, and you get that sense of the sacred or whatever. I'm just using this word right now. And you just, it's so silent and quiet, the meditation, and you're quite grounded. And you might go through a phase when you go through your day where you just don't want to talk much, and you just do, you just love doing just the dishes or cleaning the floors, and you just find that your meditation is extending itself into the rest of the day. Are you experiencing that right now?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I do experience that. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Very good. So you start to hold samadhi 24/7. That's very good. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's connect again in the next call and see where you're at then.
Thank you, Ratima.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome. It was very good. Okay, this is Reem. Hi, Reem.
Hi, Ratima. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm very excited to listen to you. I'm actually in a phase where I'm sort of zoned out all the time.
Hmm.
It's a good zoned out. I don't know if this is samadhi or something like this.
During the day or when you're meditation? When do you zone out?
It's like after meditation, after, you know, any mindfulness exercise, after an MP3. It's just like beginning to be like the way I don't know, I live, I suppose. I don't really know how to talk about it. That's why I wanted to see if I could, you know, connect with you, or if you could tune in and let me know if this. I'm always afraid of, you know, like maybe, you know, going out of the or, you know, like going too far.
Okay. Well, let's go to that. Let's read this here. Like, go to that zone place, because you'll remember it, or you'll be in it. Okay. Yeah, that's not a spaced out place, so that's good. And you have a little bit more energy in the heart right now, right? Because you're a little nervous. So.
Just now, but I feel like I'm building power. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no,
what
yes,
you say
right.
About power, I get it on some level, not entirely.
Yeah, allow. Let's do this. Let's bring, because there's a lot of. That's true. The energy came from the belly up into the heart. There's a lot of energy in the heart, and it's not moving further up to the third eye and integrating. Because what does it mean to have more power? It goes up out of the crown chakra, and then your entire core expands. You it's almost like you have a thin tube, and it gets wider and wider. Your core begins to expand past your field, you know, past your body, and gets bigger, right? So. Okay, so and that's sort of emotional hang-ups, which is normal because it keeps pushing through all our limitations. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to this right now. And getting starting to feel a change. Do you notice that?
More serene.
That's right. Now it's flowing up, right? So there's more energy coming from the back of the heart chakra, which is usually ancestral stuff integrating, and it's starting to flood up, kind of more like funneling a little bit up into, through, you know, towards the head and out. So you're going to feel, so you're, there you go, now it's correcting downward as well. You might feel you're sitting more straight now, or more, your core straighter, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, because I have been, this is related to some questions I had like 2 years ago where I was just having bouts of sadness that were not mine. And I emailed you and you told me this is, you know, just let it go. But basically it felt like something that was like a big heartache that wasn't mine. So I get this restriction and constriction in the heart sometimes. And
yeah,
I just cry it out. But I don't know if that's the way to do it. But yeah.
Yes, if it's natural, if you stay in your core, stay neutral, and like you obviously have the way you're describing to me, it sounds like you're totally in control of it. So you basically you can cry it out. But when you cry it out, in order to not just cry out the energy, you want to discover the thought behind it. The construction that causes the emotional energy to get stuck on it.
Okay.
So when I would cry things out, I would pay attention, and usually it helped me. Sometimes later I would just sit in meditation, but in the beginning, like 20 years ago, I had to literally kind of curl up a little bit and almost put my forehead onto the ground in order to block my third eye, not to be super active. It helped me to look into my heart and to basically read the deeper subconscious thoughts that were there. That's the way I did it, or just it happened this way. Because then you realize, oh, there's this subtle thought, and it's like you realize not your thoughts, your ancestors is programmed into you. And once you become conscious of it, then the whole story is already falling apart, right?
So when we pinpoint, like, because I get that it's something ancestral, sometimes it's related to the land or something, do I need to go more than that, or that's enough to clear it?
Well, you find out. You just go step by step, and if you feel
that
there's more, then you pay attention to that and go with that.
Okay, because I think I'm at that point, but I can't pull the thread, though, you know? It's just like, okay, then it's not.
Yeah, because this is a very good comment you made, because the ego can't, it's not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to offer yourself. It's this thing that I talked to Kazra about, is controlled abandon.
Yeah.
We're not
yeah.
supposed to fix ourselves, because who's going to end up? The ego says, hey, I fixed everything. Mm. You know, so it's about you step by step becoming real to yourself. Yeah.
Okay. And just a last question, Tina. Mm-hmm. Are we still grounding to the golden white light in the middle of the galaxy? This is what I'm doing.
I offer different approaches. So if that makes sense to you, or are you just ground into your core, or ground through into infinity below and above you? Because everybody's perspective shifts. So try to find the one that is calling you out right now.
Okay. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you very much. You just answered my question. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Good. All right. So, yeah, Saturday is Saturn, governs Saturday, and this is Saturn is the work planet. So I find it on Saturdays we just get a lot of, like, stuff done. So this is in Alberta. Is this Bainuna?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, I'm more generalized. I'm in Alberta now. We're getting there. Pretty soon I'll get a BC number.
This is Calgary, right? And I know, like, okay, this is really far away. Like,
I know. Someday.
Never.
Yes. So thank you for your support on Facebook. It really helps. And I think there have been, you know, many shifts since. So it's been, you know, good. It's been very good. I'm finding that grief and bliss are just kind of coming in the same moment a lot of the times now. So it's this feeling, and they kind of just pass quite quickly, especially the grief. I'm finding it's just that I just don't care about it. Just like I don't know if you were doing some work or, but there was definitely a shift where, you know, there's just this, yeah, this feeling of just letting it be, right?
Yes,
and
good.
It just seems to come through a lot quicker.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, well, because I assisted you, because you were, you know, that's, yes, you know, to be stuck in confusion, and once I gave you that light and the clarity, you knew, okay, and now I can continue, you know? And now you're ready to just not, so that was good. Okay.
So thank you so much. It just, it just really shifted the whole perception, you know, and into something more, more light, I guess you could say. So, and the other, what I'm finding happening with that is I feel like I'm being powered up almost, that my creative juices are really starting to flow. And there seems to be a real outward motion now, like the physical. When you mentioned the physical aspect of working out, it's like I had just gone back to the gym the last couple of weeks. And when you mentioned it, I went and I worked really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, gosh, it feels good.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing? I know. I can feel the new you, because you went through this dissolution. Now that the energy is flowing out and you're actually letting it go into the body that now has been cleansed, right? You went through a massive cleanse. You're having a whole new experience in your body. And the body is actually bliss. Like when it's empty, it's bliss. When it's full with identification, it's pure pain.
Oh, okay. Because it's just been like, because, you know, the first couple times I worked out before you said that, you know, I'm doing it carefully because it's been quite a while since I've worked out regularly, you know.
Yes.
And so I'm being gentle on myself and all that. And then it was like you gave me this permission and I went in there and I was grunting and groaning, maybe not too loudly, more inner, but, and, you know, felt sore the next day. But during it, it was like I was almost laughing. It's a delight of, you know, making this body really work for it, right? Like, come on, body, you know, we've got a ways to go here, so let's get with it, right?
That's good.
So thank you for that. But,
good.
Definitely, the one question, when you were talking to Christine, something that you said about the craving, the sacred can show up very distorted, right, with our desires and needs for things or whatever experiences or whatever. So would that mean that all attraction and aversion is just a craving for the sacred?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Absolutely.
And so any time that I have attraction or aversion, not just going back into neutrality, but if I'm able to really just be isness and or meditate or whatever, then I'm answering that soul's or spirit's call for the sacred instead of the calls of the ego.
That's correct.
Could that be?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. Because as your karma keeps unfolding, right? You're still you know, so you will, it's almost like a assembly line, one of these, like what you call the cashier, these things that roll, they're word different.
I know what you mean, the thing.
Conveyor belt.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there, you're in the now, and you're in your core, and on the conveyor belt, sometimes there's nothing on it, you're good, but then suddenly, bang, there is a piece of karma, and then that is attraction aversion. But if you have made a decision to be in neutrality and to be doing the spiritual practice and get strong at it, then even if a big package comes, you know, like a really big one, you're not going to get frazzled by it. You're not going to jump onto the conveyor belts, because then you're stuck in that karmic loop. You have to keep sitting and basically, process it, you know? Yeah.
So the karmic loop being the conveyor belt, being our patterns, being all of that, right? Like for example, you know, say with my house sale not happening, that, you know, that sense of aversion of even being in this house, which I've been working with, you know, like just really staying neutral with it, but I'm feeling like can even take that deeper. Is that?
Yes, you can take that deeper, exactly. Because whenever there's still aversion, then it's also an invitation to, it's the house is pushing you deeper into yourself. From an egoic perspective, from the ego, from the normal human perspective, you can say that the house is a bunch of karma, right? Because it's there, it's manifested.
Yes.
Something you really wanted at some point, there it is. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
In order to dissolve it, we have to become more spirit, more empty, until the molecules fall apart and that whole house disappears, right? Mm.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and that depends on how much power you have, right? So that's why if you have a lot of power, you can keep sitting on your next to the conveyor belt and don't jump on it, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, and just know that, and you're taking everything home. You, if you're up, like, you know, how people say when you die, like the story that when you die, you come to God and then you have to account for your sins or whatever. What we're doing right now is we're already doing this right now because there's no death in the future. Death and life are happening right now all the time. They're happening right now in this moment. Everything's happening right now. So we're just basically doing accounting for our own imbalances that are our karmas, and we eat them up. We recycle them. We surrender it back to just be what it truly was. It was just pure life, and we consolidated it into something for ourselves, and so we surrender that back. That's why it's a process mm-hmm. of elimination. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so when meditating, like for example last night, like I'm finding with the working out, I think it's really helping build the power. I've sat, and then at the usual time I could feel my body getting in the pattern of, okay, it's time to go, and then I just kept sitting through it, so I probably doubled the time in there at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this, the power then I'm taking it would be the thing that's helping me to just kind of ignore all the
yes.
everything. Right?
That's
so
right.
Everything.
Exactly.
I could feel like, oh, I got to go, or I got to go talk to my partner or go have dinner with them, and then it was just like, I don't care. I just don't care. I'm just going to be here.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay.
You become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's great. That's great. Okay.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for all
You're
of that,
welcome.
For all that information. Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. That's good. Good stuff here. Okay, Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for everything. Just a couple of comments that were made earlier just made me impressed to raise my hand because it brought up when you were talked about, you know, that fine line between someone who's crazy or you know, someone who is awoken. Or it brought up in me that fear of losing it, of becoming stupid, of forgetting. You know, it's that ego. Could you just help me get clear on, you know, that self-identity that, you know, wants to know who it is in its relationship to space and time.
It wants to know what? Say that again. What does it want to know?
Who it is in relationship to space and time. Because I was just thinking as these huge chunks of attraction and aversion leave, like it just feels so spacious. And there's sometimes mm-hmm. where I don't remember, you know, things where I think I should know. And
yeah, but who says that you should know?
that would be like the past, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the I, right? Yeah,
right.
And that's just a trick to basically others have their drama and that's your drama. So you're happy, right? Everything's good in your life. Is there a problem? So.
Yes, no. It's just like simple little things like remembering names of a family member or, you know, just things that I just, well, I draw a blank on where, you know, I think, oh, Karen. So,
well, you know, there are for sure times, I mean, okay, let's just go over here. There are definitely, you know, brain diseases, you know, don't have enough food, protein, vitamins, and all that for sure, you know. But if you do spiritual practice and you eat well and all that stuff, and everything's fine or the doctor checked you out, then I would say, in my own experience, and I've talked about it, your brain gets rewired, literally. And when it makes these shifts in intelligence, you will go through times where you are where your brain is very empty and it doesn't click in quickly enough for certain names or whatever you need. But it didn't really harm my life, and I know that everybody else wasn't bothered by it. And so don't let yourself be bothered by it, because there is a certain amount of history that will fall away, that you will not remember. And that's the whole point. Because there's a reason when you were born in this life, you forgot everything that happened before in your other life. And that's good. There's a purpose for that. Because if you remembered everything, and that's what we try to clear all the time in the healing sessions, it will be, you carry these diseases and problems. So we want to clear all the past, and, you know, we do all this. So now we come to this place where you're now clearing this current life. That's good. And as you clear this current life and you really do these quantum leaps and your brain makes shifts, you get so reborn. You become a whole new person. To the degree that people on the street wouldn't recognize me that saw me 10 years earlier. I would walk right by me. They didn't see who I was because I had somehow changed. You know, so this is normal. You get reborn in the same life over and over again until you are so different. But it won't matter because just the way you don't care what happened three lifetimes ago to your brother or who you were and why you, I don't know what happened there, you know. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for yourself and you don't lose anything because you can only gain. I know there's always this fear from the ego because, you know, the ego will literally be, in some way, gets destroyed. Its structure becomes more loose, more fluid. So yeah, of course, there's a reaction, but it's like when you flinch going in cold water, but after you've been there a little bit, you find it very refreshing and you start loving swimming in the cold water. You know, it's like that.
Okay, yes. And I just also had a question about the power center. I always felt I was weak there, and you were talking about how, you know, when they're lined up, this is when we're not getting on that conveyor belt, when we notice the thoughts and like that fear that was coming up earlier when someone was talking about that fear, the being lined up. And I just wanted to ask about that root and the power. I guess it's letting go of the thought that it's weak.
Yeah, what makes you think that your power center is weak?
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess that's why I'm asking to just check in with you on that.
So it's more about the worry about it because you don't have anything significant that you say, oh, you know. Yeah, then you're just worried about it. And that's your mind again trying to make a life that is so beautiful and so peaceful and so serene is trying to kind of, yeah, if a party pooper mind comes in, always just to mess it up, you know. Don't listen to it. Decide, especially when you don't have a symptom and your mind says, oh, you know, there's a problem. That's the best moment to basically say, to decide, no, you can just decide, no, my power center is strong. Because it's even true. You don't even have a weakness that you can complain about. So you say, I have my power center strong. I don't have a problem. And that's it, period. You know?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. Okay. So I have Kathleen here, and I don't know if I didn't take your hand down. Kathleen, did you raise your hand again, or did I just forget to take your hand down?
Well, I did because I actually came up with a question after a call.
Okay.
If you have a minute.
Yeah.
The question was, who it was, but you talked about the fact that eventually the core expands and to encompass all of who you are.
Yeah.
And I noticed this the other day, and I thought it was my imagination because each time I go into the core, I intend that I become more of my core. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like it was the thought of more of me going into the core, and then all of a sudden it felt like, you know, it's just funny things that we develop in our mind. It felt like, wow, it's like right here. And so can you explain that a little bit more? It wasn't something that I was aware that we would sense or that would happen.
Well, if you see pictures of saints, you will see that their whole body glows, right? They put sort of aura around it, right? So like radiating. So you will notice that that basically you're that there's just light, and when you look down, you're just light, and the light is just, you're like a sun, it just comes all out of you. So there's just light, and the core itself is the self, which is neither this nor that. It has no substance, eternity. It's almost, you could say, it's empty. And emptiness can appear as light in the physical body and in the field. And so sometimes it can be light, and sometimes it can just be empty and nothingness. So there can be also the experience of that you just don't know your body anymore. It will be a consistent sense that you're not this body, but there are graduations or different experiences to that nothingness. And then you just have a constant aura, like a constant, what do you call that, a halo and all these things, right? So it's always with you because your aura is, it's not your aura, it's because it's your subtle field, but it's like the emptiness, the self itself is then translated into the aura. I can't explain it very well. All I remember is that it just expands, and then you basically, you walk around like this massive column of, and then it expands further, and everything else just seems to be this one nothingness.
Oh, well, you know, where I noticed a real shift energetically, and I'm sure a lot of folks did, was after the 11th.
Uh-huh.
And there was such an expansion.
Mm.
And then, gosh, I don't know. I really don't know where it was, but I just really noticed that that was even a core expansion, at that time. So
in the beginning, you'll have an experience of you are experiencing the expansion, but when it flips and you're awake, then, there isn't you experiencing it, but you are the expansion. You have become it.
Okay.
And there's a lack. Then it switches the perspective. Then what you see with your eyes, your body, or what you do and how you are in the world is different. It's really hard to talk about, but there's going to be a flip at some point because you go from unawake to awake. And so it makes sense, right? It's like, you know, somebody sleeps or somebody's awake, you know, like in terms of sleeping in bed at night, it's a totally different reality. It's the same thing when you wake up. Your reality is literally put upside down. Everything's different. Everything's inside out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct. Thank you.
Yeah, it's hard to speak. Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so we went through everybody. Thanks for all the questions. So let's just for a moment... Let's take a deep breath and just be here again and just let all these conversations fall where they fall without any effort, and just knowing we are what we are already. There's nowhere to go, nowhere to reach. I'm just going to say a few words, like a worded meditation, is that that awareness, that consciousness that you are is always here. Nothing is added to you, to it, nor nothing is taken away from it. It doesn't have a beginning nor an end. It is nothing, and it is also this body and everything else. It can't be compared, it cannot compare, it can't go anywhere. It cannot be here or there. Nothing happens to it, nor do you happen to anything. There's a stillness, an ever-present okayness, There's a remembrance of a very sweet aliveness. It's always there. That nobody touches. And yet, it's always there. Nothing can be missed, or nothing can be added. And there's no past, no future. And yet there is a past and a future. The beautiful mind can't comprehend, and yet it does such a great job of being mind. It also holds the essence of stillness, the ability to reflect, and to stop reflecting when it's pure and transparent. The snake and the rope never existed. Who we are and where we go is just an idea. The rope is not affected by the idea of the snake. And just you are not affected by the idea of this person that you think you are. And when the next breath comes, you just know you're free. You've always been free. And it's okay to experience the journey of becoming free. And it's beautiful. Although in essence, it's also just an idea. Because you were never born and you never die. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll speak soon. Oh, I have another hand up. Okay, so I'm just going to go and... That's Barbara. Hi, Barbara. You have one last question.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had my hand up, and then I was wondering if I'd done press the right button. Yeah. Well, it's just that probably I was going to talk about how things have all settled down for me, and that I'm sort of doing all the hard work now and doing all the squares and triangles and things. So I was just, when it was kind of very experiential, I ended up reading a book called by Bonnie Greenwell, The Kundalini Guide. Mm-hmm. And just, I think it just, I think it was, she just kind of reminded me that I'd sort of been there before, or that I'd had that awakening before, and that sometimes it can be related to a trauma memory. And
what is your question?
The question is, I guess it's, I'm not sure.
Something fascinated you about the Kundalini book, and where there's somewhere a question, right? What's this kind of?
Yeah, okay. Okay. Something to do with a trauma memory, I guess. It's what kind of, because it's happened again, there's a memory. And it's like what you kind of, well, last time I guess it was like, or she said in the book that you can't, sometimes you can't go further, or you don't go further because you have to deal with the trauma memory, and that, so that was when, for me, in my case, it was sort of the karmic yoga and counselling or whatever. But I'm still not sure what my question is. It's like, well, this time it's different, I guess, in that I've already done that, so I think some people in the course said, like, it doesn't matter that you have a memory. You
okay.
don't have to know what the memory is. You don't have to understand the memory. It's more you work with the energy or something. Oh, yeah. So I've had, because I've had another, I guess, it being very experiential, it was part of downloading a memory. Yeah.
Downloading a memory. Okay, so there's a lot of concepts here that don't work. You don't download a memory. You are a walking bunch of memories. Your whole body is your past.
Yeah.
And this person, I don't know this book. It sounds to me this is sort of a psychological approach. I don't know if the person enlightened who wrote this book. Obviously, she wasn't, because it sounded very psychological. So, and a lot of people use Kundalini, this Kundalini stuff, in order to give a spiritual spin or a different perspective on healing. Am I going in the right direction here? And so, I'm trying to help you with where you're at, because when you you don't have to understand, you know, why your trauma happened and what. And if you remember it, you're having a memory of it. And that memory is a full experience. You're having emotions with it. There's an energy. Your mind remembers something. And you're being with it. You don't have to do anything about it.
Mm.
And it will come and it will go, because it can pop up. It's not like you're making it happen. It just might happen, right? And then it just disappears again, right? Isn't that the way it works?
So if you had forgotten it, though, but and you're remembering it now, because it happened in your childhood, so
okay.
It's not, it, yeah.
Can you make a whole sentence? Try to make a whole sentence.
This is very important.
This is very important, because if this is indicates the confusion you're living in, because if you can't see and have clear perspective of your own mind and what goes on within yourself, this is what happens. You're realizing you're caught in the past, you're caught as Barbara, which is unconscious, and then you're trying to you're sensing something. It's almost like you want to wake up into this thought and trying to see and understand something. And I'm helping you by saying, okay, try again. What is it, to make you more conscious of what you're seeking, of what you're trying to understand? And it's good. You struggle as part of it. You're struggling, and that's good. So try again. What exactly is the question?
What is the point of remembering?
Okay, good. Should we first answer that before we go to the next one? What's the point of remembering? The point of remembering is to become conscious. And it doesn't have to be. If it's presented to you, then we can say we're remembering something. Then it's being presented to you, so you can digest fully a situation that was not digested when you were younger. So because the energies were blocked, because you were more or less mature, the chakras were less mature, you had less light in the soul, it couldn't handle something. When we get older, we have more light and more energy, and we're ready to look at something, and we can digest it better. And then when it's digested, then you're free. It's like literally like food. Energy is like food. It just clogs up your system, so it needs to flow through and be digested and eliminated. So that's the point of remembering, yeah? Okay, next question.
Does the other person have to know about the memory, or
who's the other person? Or the person that created the trauma on you?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so, I don't have to know. It has nothing to do. Yeah, no.
It's nothing to do.
They don't have to know. But let's put an extra thought here. If you live from your core, from your truth, that makes you move. That, like, if you live in honesty and in a place of alignment, yeah, okay, different words. You get up at the time that is right to you. You brush your teeth. You do the right foods, and you say the right things. And maybe it's the right thing to say something, and maybe it's not the right thing to say something. And that you will only know if you're in alignment.
Okay. So, I guess just having had the memory, I'm just thinking, and now I have to let it go and forgive, and it's like
the memory. Well, do you feel it as well, the memory, or is it just a thought?
I felt I felt it.
You felt it, good. Okay, and then you feel it. Yeah, you feel it until the feeling is consumed. Feelings are like weather. They come and go. There's a charge. It's like rain or sunshine or thunder. They come and they go, and they release an energy upon us. So the energy needs to, like I said, it gets digested, integrated. So while you're feeling it, without buying into it, just conscious and you're feeling it, you're digesting the energy, and it actually enriches you. Maybe in the beginning it'll exhaust it because it's hard work to hold your center and engage in it, but at the end you'll actually grow from it because you integrated something. So you feel
Yeah.
All right. It feels clear now. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Good. Awesome. Good. Good for trying. Awesome. Thanks, Barbara.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. Okay, so we'll just end the call and here, and again, wish you a wonderful evening. Thanks so much. Okay, bye.
The moderator has left the conference.